Hello, everybody, and good evening. I hope you're all well. It's been a very, very warm day here. I can tell you this now. If you can hear the fan going, that's the fan on my computer. Unseasonably warm. In fact, it feels like the middle of summer. We're going slightly later tonight because I had a prior engagement this evening, but we are now live on Rumble and Odyssey. And thank you to everyone who's tuned in. If you like my shows, if you think you're going to like this show, and it's going to be a good one, we're going to be talking about something very important, please do give it a share. Share it on X. Also, please share it on Facebook, Instagram, wherever else you can share it. Get the word out as soon as you can, and let people know that we're streaming and we're talking about the latest net migration figures, because it's important stuff. It's important stuff. And I think people are going to be shocked about some of what's been going on. Now, if you support my work, please consider making a donation. You can donate directly tonight through Rumble. You can also donate via cryptocurrency. And you can follow me now on Substack, where you can see my latest works. Now, I have two articles out there every week. My article earlier in the week was about the killing of Henry Novak and the anti-white police that handcuffed a dying white boy and essentially led to his death through their actions. I don't believe they've been arrested yet, and they certainly haven't been named. And what's more, the suspect in the case, Vikram Digwa, the one who stabbed him, the man who stabbed him, the Sikh who stabbed Henry Novak, he hasn't been pictured anywhere yet. So lots of anti-white double standards going on there. So check that out. And today I published a new essay. This is about, again, 4,000 words long. And it's a deep dive into the case of Thomas Massie in the US primary in Kentucky. I talk about all the different super PACs that were involved in swinging the election against him. And I expose all of the Jewish mega donors and pro-Israel organizations that came together to spend a record amount of money to ensure that Thomas Massie did not take the Republican nomination this time around. So that's a really important article. Please go and check that out. And remember, you can subscribe to me there. You can help me out there. It's a really, really in-depth article, lots of information. And I think it's one of those things that people would be able to use as a reference point when debating these subjects. So please go and check that out and check out all my other Substack articles. I think I've got about 13 or 14 of those articles up now. They're doing really well in terms of views, likes, people appreciating them. But if you can go over there and check them out and add something more to it, that would be really, really helpful. And I'd really, really appreciate that. Now, what are we talking about tonight? Well, we're talking about the new net migration figures. Now, the new net migration figures, they have been released by the Home Secretary. She is the lady on the graphic who is enthusiastically clapping. The new net migration figures from Shabana Mahmood, that's her name, are very interesting indeed. And they are a stark contrast to previous net migration figures released by the Conservatives. And so stark is the difference between these new net migration figures and the levels of net migration we saw under the Conservatives that Labour have been crowing about this. In fact, Shabana Mahmood, I was going to say she's made an infographic. She's published an infographic on her X account. Now, I don't think she made it. I don't think she sat there with her copy of Photoshop. I was going to say she made it. She probably didn't make it, but she certainly posted it. But let's have a quick look at that and see what it says. So this is quite interesting. Net migration down 82%. That's the headline figure, and that's pretty huge. Net migration down by 82%, which on the surface, you've got to hand it to them. This seems like a complete win. This seems like a complete win. Something that we should all be celebrating. Net migration down 82%. Fantastic, eh? And I'll read the rest of the graphic. Net migration is now at 171,000, down from a high of 944,000 under the Conservatives. And people might be thinking, well, what's this 944,000? I thought it was 906,000. Well, we're going to come back to that later. And the final quote from this is the last line, which says, this government is restoring order and control to our borders. So here's Labour basically touting themselves as the party of immigration and border control, which is very interesting. Now, there's a few things we have to discuss about these figures. By the way, at the bottom it says Shabana Mahmood, Home Secretary, and there's a picture of her where she's not actually pulling one of these ridiculous faces she usually pushes. She's actually wearing her glasses. She looks far more intelligent. This is a much better taken shot than most of the shots. Most of the shots, she has this wild grin on her face where she looks absolutely insane. But in this picture, she actually looks relatively normal. She looks sort of not as unhinged as she usually does. And this looks like an impressive set of figures. So let's dive in. Let's dive in. And as I said, on the surface, we've got to grant it to her. On the surface, this seems like a good thing. When normal people who are anti-immigration see this, and they see net migration down 82%, most normal people are going to say, well, this is a big improvement. They're doing better than the Tories. They're cleaning up the mess that the Tories made. This looks good. They've made good on this election promise. They promised to absolutely get net migration down and to cut it by four-fifths. I think even the most uncharitable person would say they have significantly cut net migration, which is what they promised. They did promise that. However, as we will see as the stream progresses and I present more evidence, this is not actually the win it seems to be. They've made good on their promise, but this isn't the win that most people will proclaim it to be when they see the headline figures. Now, the first thing we've got to note about this is the figures that we're seeing here tonight, this figure of cut by 82%, net migration 171,000. This figure is notoriously prone to being revised. So the figures on net migration, when they first come out, just seem to be an absolute guess. And they're always revised. And when they're revised, they are always revised upwards. So the best place to start here is actually the Conservatives' record on this, because the Conservatives held the peak record for net migration. And this was under what was known as the Boris wave. This was when Boris Johnson was in power. If you remember, Boris Johnson came to power. He said there was going to be this tough Australian style points based immigration system. Yet immigration rose to the highest level in the history of Britain, and net migration peaked out. We now are being told at 944,000 people in a single year, which is pretty incredible. And we've got to say this, this peak of post-Brexit net migration under Boris Johnson, as we said, dubbed the Boris wave, is now, or we're now being told, this peak was 944,000. But if you think back, the initial estimate for this period of net migration was actually 606,000. So if you're starting at 606,000 and then you're settling on 944,000, that is a substantial increase. I mean, you don't have to be a mathematical genius. That's more than a 50% increase. So if your figures are being revised up by more than 50%, that's either a big success or a mighty failure, depending on whether you want things to be larger or whether you want things to be smaller. So in this case, For the forces of replacement, Boris Johnson was a big success. But for normal people who don't want replacement migration, who aren't invested in white people being replaced, this was a disaster. But the initial figure rose by over 50%. Now, the initial estimate for this calendar year, which came out in May 2023, the ONS originally reported that net migration for that calendar year was 606,000. And this was revised heavily in November 2003, when it was adjusted upward to 745,000. So a huge increase. There was then a second revision in May 2024, a second revision. And this increased the figure only slightly, but still by 19,000, but comparatively the increase was a lot smaller, took it up to 764,000. The third revision came in November 2024, and this was when the ONS issued this massive upward correction. And they then estimated that net migration had peaked at 906,000, which is incredible. So we started off at 606,000 and we got up to 906,000. Now, finally, this final update published by Labour, and Labour are saying this is the true peak, this is the solidified absolute true peak of the Boris wave, was in fact 944,000. And I believe that this is based on legal migration. It's based on visas. It is not based on illegal migration as well. So if you take the Boris wave and you add the illegals, you're probably looking about 1 million in a single year, which is, you know, completely shocking to think that 1 million people came here to reside permanently. And the headline figure obviously was higher than that, because net migration is people who come in, less people who leave. So the people who came in that year were close to, I think, 1.5 million in total, which is truly obscene. And obviously now the net, the final total, I don't, this is what Labour are saying is going to be the final total, I doubt it'll be revised up again, is now 944,000. So it's important to note that these figures do change. What we're dealing here with here tonight is a provisional figure. This figure will be subject to updates. And I don't know how possible it is for the government to lie outright about this. Now, the government has historically massaged certain figures, such as the figures for unemployment. But one thing is for sure, if there are revisions, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would expect this figure to be revised upwards. Every single immigration figure that I've ever seen has been revised upwards. I've never seen one revised downward. So that's really, really important. Now, the next thing to note, which I think is really important, before we read an article from the Daily Mail, is net migration is down 82% from the peak of 944,000. Now, in my lifetime, net migration was once in the tens of thousands. It might have been in the single digit thousands. And it was the Blair government from 1997 to 2010 that initially spiked net migration into the hundreds of thousands and eventually above 200,000 at its peak under the Blair government. Now, the interesting thing here is everything that has come post-2010 with the Conservative Party, so Cameron, May, Johnson, Truss and Sunak, has all been based, when it comes to immigration, on the Blair numbers. Every pledge, so Cameron's pledge, get net migration down to the tens of thousands. That was based on countering what was then a record high under Blair. We then had Theresa May, tens of thousands. That's what we needed to get to. Net migration back in the tens of thousands. That was countering Blair. And then finally, we had Boris Johnson, who refused to give a figure, but he did say we're going to have this tough Australian point style immigration system, which was complete crap because we didn't get that. But all of that was based on countering the Blair numbers. Now, Labour are countering the Tory numbers, which are so obscenely high that any reduction in immigration would be easy to achieve because you're working with a figure which is so easy to best. If you say that the level you need to beat is 944,000 and anything under that is a win and you've reduced net migration, you don't have to do much to achieve that. That's not something that you need to work hard at. Now, they're saying, look, we've got net migration down by 82%. That's their headline figure. That's what they're happy with. But this still leaves net migration at 171,000 a year, which is sort of back to the Blair numbers. Now, the Blair numbers were so obscene in the 2000s. They were seen as so shockingly high. A net migration of 171,000 would have been seen as so high that that's what actually fueled the rise of the British National Party, which I was involved in. So the second thing we have to note about this is the figures that we are happy with, the figures that the Labour Party are happy with, the figures that the Labour Party are crowing about, are actually figures that at one time would have been seen as shockingly high. And this is one of the ways that the illusory two-party system works in order to con you into thinking you're getting something good. There's lots of people who are going to be saying, this is a good figure. We've got it down to an acceptable level. But this is the sort of two steps forward, one step back technique, where the government repeatedly takes two steps forward. Then eventually a successive government takes one step back and everyone starts cheering without noticing that, you know, it's taken multiple years to get here. And we're still overall many more steps forward than we are back. And the fact that we're cheering a level of immigration that once caused the rise in the BNP, you know, Britain's most successful ethno-nationalist party to date, this is not something we should be celebrating. This is something which is actually a return to what was once the worst figures on net migration in the history of Britain. We've not gone back to the tens of thousands. We've not gone back to the thousands. We've not gone into negative. This is all actually just, we're dialing it back a bit, but only to a level that at once was seen by, in fact, many sort of centre-right tabloids as absolutely scandalous. That's the second thing we have to look at. Now, I'm going to pull up a Daily Mail article. So this Daily Mail article is also quite illuminating. So let's have a read. Net migration falls to 171,000, but asylum seekers continue to rise, new official data shows. So the number of illegal migrants continues to rise, but we're down on net migration. Net migration to Britain fell to 171,000 last year. New official figures show. The Office for National Statistics took the figure. Those coming to live here long term minus those emigrating nearly halved from the previous year's 331,000. Net migration peaked at 944,000 in 2023. So this is very interesting. So it shows that Labour have managed to cut net migration year on year. And it goes on to say, last year, 813,000 migrants came to live here long term. So again, this is just over half, about 60% of what the Tories were letting in. So a cut in the absolute number of people coming here as well. And this is down from a peak of nearly 1.5 million in 2023. But here's the first thing we have to note. 77% of those coming here are coming from outside the EU. Now, under the Tories, it was 80%, so it's pretty much similar. You know, we're splitting hairs there over 3%. But here's the issue. The countries that contribute the most migrants to Britain under the Tories were Pakistan, India, Nigeria, and China. And this is much the same. So we're talking nearly 80% of all immigration to Britain is non-white immigration. It's non-European. But the ONS said fewer Brits are returning to the UK than leaving, with a net loss of 136,000 people last year. It included 75,000 young people aged 16 to 34. So this is really interesting, because what this suggests is, in fact, the net migration figures are lots of people coming in, nearly 80% of people coming in, non-European, but a massive increase in people who are British leaving. So meanwhile, 642,000 people of all nationalities emigrated from Britain, including 246,000 British nationals. So what we're seeing here is a mass exodus of white Brits set against a significant number of non-Europeans coming here. And it says this, the ONS said the gap in that age group has grown every year since 2022, adding this may suggest young Brits who move abroad for work are staying for longer periods, or that students who study overseas are then staying for work. Shadow Business Secretary Andrew Griffiths said it was an exodus of young people fleeing Labour's high-tax Britain. Well, he's a complete idiot. It's got nothing to do with high-tax Britain. People are leaving Britain because Britain's a sinking ship. I mean, some of it's going to be tax, right? Some of it's going to be tax. Okay. You know, that's a fact. But most of this will be people escaping the multiracial Britain that they don't want to live in. They don't want to live in an anti-white hellhole where they're a minority. They'd rather go abroad and be a minority and be treated nicely and not have to be watching their back for the hate crime officers. They're obviously denying the real reason why people are leaving this country. The ONS also said the number of people who came to Britain to claim asylum during the year was 88,000, up slightly on the previous year. So you can add those figures to your 171,000 there already. The figures therefore suggest about half of net migration. Well, actually, no, they're saying this is actually in with net migration. So half of net migration is apparently asylum seekers. Now, the interesting thing here is they didn't used to include asylum seekers in net migration. This suggests they are now. The figure, however, the ONS suggested a better measure was taking asylum as a proportion of total immigration from outside the EU, which it put at 14%. Experts at Oxford University's Migration Observatory said net migration's growing proportion of asylum seekers indicated the type of immigration to Britain was becoming less favourable. I don't think it's ever been particularly favourable. Researcher Dr. Ben Brindle said migration is down now, but the economic impacts depend on who is or is no longer migrating and how many. Today's data illustrates a challenge the government faces, namely that the categories of migration it would most like to reduce are the ones least amenable to policy. As a result, migration of groups that make positive or broadly neutral economic impacts, such as skilled workers and partners of students, is down, while asylum-related migration remains high. Since refugees have lower employment rates and often need a lot of support from the state, this means that the composition of recent migration has probably become less favourable from an economic perspective. And this is what they're looking at. They're looking at the economic perspective here. We're looking at demography. We're looking at white people being replaced. New data from the ONS also showed the foreign-born population of Britain jumped by 1.6 million between 2022 and 2024 to 13.1 million. So there are 13.1 million people living in Britain who were born abroad. The foreign born now make up, oh, it's even, here will give you the figure. The foreign born now make up 19% of the population, almost one in five, up from 16% or one in six at the 2021 census, which tells you how far things have moved since then. The Migration Observatory's Dr. Brindle said the sharp increase in net migration after the pandemic has pushed the foreign-born to its highest ever share of the UK population. Separate data published by the Home Office, covering the more up-to-date period of the 12-month ending this March, showed there were 94,000 asylum claims, down 12% year-on-year. It also revealed 21,000 asylum seekers were living in taxpayer-funded hotel accommodation at the end of March, down 35% year-on-year, something else they'll crow about. In all, the number of asylum seekers being supported by the Home Office has dipped to 97,500. However, the number of asylum seekers in dispersal accommodation, self-catering flats and houses across the country, stood at 68,719, up from just under 62,000 at just before the 2024 general election. These figures exclude Afghans, who came here under the special scheme set up by government to support those at risk from the Taliban. And this is an interesting point. Look, we've got to point this out. I said earlier, what about the massaging of the figures? What about the way that they always somehow manage to change the figures in their favour? And this is a perfect example of that. They haven't included the Afghans. Well, it was tens and tens of thousands of Afghans came here. And they came here with their extended families. And that Afghan scheme is still operating now. It's not accepting new applicants, but it is processing all existing applicants. So this is another little way the government get round things. When they are included, the total receiving support is now over 136,000, up from 130,000 at the election. So what's it saying there? That the Home Office is supporting 97,500 asylum seekers, but there's nearly 40,000 Afghans here under the Afghan resettlement scheme, just under, obviously. So it's actually 38,500, but that's a lot of people, isn't it, just from Afghanistan? I mean, that's going to make a huge impact in the long run. And I do fear for the safety of girls in the areas those people are being housed. Tory MP and Shadow Minister Neil O'Brien said in the blog post, so for all of the government's boasting about shuttered hotels, for most people in most areas, the experiences of an increase in asylum seekers being housed locally, rather like blowing on a dandelion, the Home Office are dispersing people all over the country. The government hopes this will make the problem less visible. Well, that's a stupid comment because his government set up the hotel scheme. What a complete dickhead. He goes on to say, I think there is every chance it'll backfire as people are left high and dry in the villages and town suburbs where there's very little social infrastructure to connect and few people in a similar situation. So what he's really saying is he'd like it in the big cities, not in places that generally vote Tory. He doesn't want to deport them. Although the number of foreign nationals removed by the UK by the Home Office rose 7% to 39,000, only 2,750 of those had arrived in Britain by small boat across the Channel, a 17% year-on-year rise. So Labour are also sending more people back. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Phillips said nearly 100,000 people are now in the asylum accommodation and Labour's answer is to move them out of hotels and hide them in residential streets. Well, his government let them in and put them in the hotels, so he shouldn't really be talking about this. So Labour should be deporting all illegal immigrants, but they simply don't have the backbone to do. Do you know what? These people make me sick. And this guy, Chris Phillips, he's an ardent Zionist, absolute scumbag, one of the people who wants new laws to gag us all. Total and utter bad egg is Chris Phillips. But one of the things you've got to note about him is he has got a real cheek, hasn't he? Talking about Labour not having the backbone to deport all illegal migrants. They never deported any. They were completely useless, let alone all. What an absolute scumbag. And he says many of the 93% that are allowed to stay by this UK government go on to commit serious crimes, yep, including murder, rape and the sexual assault of young girls. Yes, 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 this situation is a disgrace. But it was just as much of a disgrace under the Tory party and he did nothing about it then. During the year, 253,000 work visas were granted, down 17%, and 410,000 student visas were granted, down 3%. Now, this is really interesting because this is why I don't trust the figures, and this is why we're actually reading this article. Because you might have noticed, some people might say, oh, Mark, it's a bit boring reading the Daily Mail. I could have done that at home. But look, we've got to look at these figures, and you've got to look at the inconsistencies in the figures. So during the year where net migration fell to 171,000, the government issued 253,000 work visas and 410,000 student visas, totaling 663,000 visas. And you've got to remember, visas sometimes also include family members. So although this was down 17% and 3%, it's still a massive number. And I don't think all those people will have gone back. I just don't. And I think there has been some massaging of the figures here. And finally, it wraps up. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood said net migration has fallen by 82% just 3 years. We will always welcome those who contribute to this country and wish to build a better life here, but we must restore order and control our borders. As these statistics show, real progress has been made, but there's still work to do. That's why I'm introducing a skills-based migration system that rewards contribution and ends Britain's reliance on cheap overseas workers. She ends it there by more or less saying she wants to bring back Boris's scheme, which got us into the mess where we had net migration of 944,000. So how can we sum that article up? Well, the headline figures in that article look good, don't they? The headline figures all look good. Total number of people coming here has dropped. Total number of people staying here has dropped. Net migration has dropped. And also, you know, they are reducing the burden on the hotel system, and Labour, unbelievably, do seem to be deporting more people than the Conservatives. So Labour are letting in fewer people, net migration has dropped, and Labour seem to be deporting more and closing the hotel scheme. Although, as we've discussed before, is closing the hotel scheme the right answer? No, sending them all back is the right answer. Closing the hotel scheme and putting them to housing estates probably puts young white girls at greater risk, which is what Chris Phillips said. But his party were the ones that started the hotel scheme and had the record high for immigration. So no one should believe him. And he should be the kind of person that people do not trust whatsoever. But one of the interesting things here to note is one of the principal reasons for this dramatic drop in immigration is the massive decline in non-EU nationals arriving for work-related reasons. So although mass immigration is still roughly 80% non-white, there has been a big drop in non-EU nationals arriving. And the ONS stated that work-related immigration visas from outside the EU have dropped by 47% over the last year. Now, this single category was the primary factor that dragged net migration right down. So why has this happened and what have Labour done? So there have been three policies that Labour have enacted that have reduced this. The first has been the ban on family dependents. And this has blocked a large number of people who are arriving here on work and student visas from bringing their family members. And this is something I've talked about extensively. There's also been a massive reduction in care workers coming here. So at one point, the Conservatives were bringing care workers from overseas. They were bringing people in who were here to care for the elderly, working in care homes, doing door-to-door care for people who were care in the community, individuals that needed to be cared for at home. But in early 2024, Labour tightened the laws on this and they completely banned anyone who was an overseas care worker from bringing their partners or children, which is actually a pretty incredible policy and something I would actually endorse. Well, actually, I wouldn't let any of these overseas care workers in at all, but, you know, banning their partners and children from coming here is a good start. Now, this is interesting because care workers were the single biggest driver of post-Brexit work-based visas. So Johnson essentially opened the floodgates by inviting care workers who mainly came from African countries. But Labour have gone further and they've actually closed the loophole that allows students to bring their dependents. Not all of them, but students now have to work a lot harder in order to bring their dependents. So not all, but most international students now can't bring family dependents. And visas for dependents across both work and study have dropped by 70%. So this sort of open door, bring your entire family. Interesting, Labour have actually closed that off, which, you know, not perfect because people are still coming here, but interestingly, better than the Conservatives, which is something I didn't predict. I actually thought immigration would probably get worse under Labour, and it actually hasn't. So that's one of the few times where I've been proved incorrect, because Labour have usually always set the high point, and then the Conservatives have chased them and tried to beat them. This is actually untypical of a Labour government. Something else Labour have done, they have increased the salary threshold. So, you know, when Boris Johnson said, right, we need a tough Australian style points based immigration system, essentially Labour have tightened this up. So the minimum salary required to secure a skilled worker visa has been raised dramatically. So the initial threshold under Boris Johnson and the Tories was £26,200, which, I mean, that a warehouse job, a driver job, I mean, you could probably earn £26,000 a year working in a barber's shop or doing Deliveroo. You genuinely could. You know, if you worked hard enough, you could earn £26,000 a year doing that. But Labour have raised the threshold to £38,700. And that was the initial raise. Since they've raised it to £38,700, they've raised it again to £41,700. So now you need to earn £41,700 to gain a work-based visa to Britain. Now, I believe the national average wage is significantly below that. So here we're talking about a situation. In fact, the national average wage is about £32,000 a year. So this is above. So now, to get a work-based visa in Britain, your pay has to exceed the national average significantly. And this has basically pushed thousands of entry-level, low-paid, and even mid pay foreign visa applicants beneath the threshold, which is interesting. It's not what I expected from Labour. There's also been somewhat of a trend of people leaving Britain post-pandemic. So we saw this record-breaking number of people arriving in Britain between 2021 and 2023, when we hit that peak of 944,000. And at the time, the majority of visas were student visas. And I believe that's still the case now. I think we've gone through that tonight. It's still the case that student visas make up the majority of visas. However, now a lot of those who are finishing their studies, not all, but a lot, are leaving. So if you've come here to do a degree which is 3 to 5 years in length and you arrived in 2021, you're probably gone by 2026 if you were going to go back. You know, their graduate visas have began to expire, essentially. So those who came in under the Boris wave as students, some of them have gone back. So what we have actually seen is the massive wave of student immigrants into Britain under Boris Johnson. A lot of them have actually gone back, which, you know, has cancelled out the impact of newer arrivals on the net total. But the most interesting part of this, and this is the part I want to focus on, because everything I've said so far is good in terms of net migration, it's good in terms of overall figures. But we're not about net migration, and we're not just about overall figures. We're about demography. And the thing with demography is a shift in the makeup of a country, in the racial or ethnic makeup of the country. And this is where net migration can be very misleading. So the most interesting part of these changes to the structure of immigration into Britain is there has been negative net EU migration and negative net British migration. So whilst non-EU arrivals dropped, they never went into the negative. So there are still more non-EU arrivals coming here than leave. So in essence, in short, to put a big point on it, although net migration dropped to 171,000 and people might be celebrating, that was largely because white people were leaving and non-white people were still coming here. Yes, non-EU arrivals dropped in terms of absolute numbers, but still more non-EU arrivals came here. We saw negative net EU immigration. So people who came here from Europe, more people this year who originally came from Europe left than people arrived from Europe. So we saw negative net white immigration in relation to the EU. And we saw a massive exodus of white Britons. So this is how the government put it. We've seen a net drain of both European citizens and British citizens. So this is all actually part of Brexit. The post-Brexit visa restrictions more heavily limited EU immigration into Britain. So this has actually caused a steady flow of EU nationals out of the UK. And to this day, EU nationals still continue to leave the UK faster than they arrive. So we saw a net loss of EU nationals, of Europeans, net loss of white people. But we also saw a net loss of British nationals. As I said, I think it was about 256 British nationals left. But the net loss of British nationals ran to 136,000. So what we saw here is still lots of non-whites coming here, but white people leaving. And as I've said, demographic change is not just about immigration. It's about a lot of other factors. And when we talk about demographic change in immigration, it's not about net figures. It's about the makeup of immigration. You could say we have negative net migration because 1 million white Brits left and 900,000 Nigerians arrived. But that would be disastrous. And Labour would say, oh, we're minus 100,000 now. Well, we are minus 100,000, but we've just seen one of the biggest catastrophic demographic shifts of all time. I mean, obviously, that's their hypothetical numbers. But all of this demography is also about births, deaths as well. So, you know, births have dropped to what white British births have dropped as a percentage of the overall births in society. Now, you know, white British births only make up 52% of all live births in England and Wales. It's very worrying. Labour abolished the two-child benefit cap. Now, following the abolition of the two-child benefit limit on the 6th of April 2026 this year, the Labour government's welfare reform has altered the financial landscape for these larger families. And independent research has confirmed that removing this limit disproportionately benefits ethnic minority families, as they are statistically much more likely to have larger households and experience higher rates of low per capita income, which makes them much more able to claim these benefits. So the first thing we've got to note about what's going on in Britain when we discount immigration is, although Labour appear to have got this headline figure looking pretty good, the first thing they're doing to offset that is giving far more money to migrant and non-white families to breed. The next thing we've got to look at is deaths. Well, who's dying? Mainly white Britons. You know, there's 12.7 million people over the age of 65 currently living in Britain. That represents around 19% of the population, so almost one in five. And of those 12.7 million, 93.6% are white, and 90.1% of white Britain are white British. So, you know, 9 in 10 of everyone over the age of 65 is white British. And in the next 25 years, statistically, most of them will be dead. So, you know, that's very, very important to note. You know, 20% of the population will be, you know, statistically dead in the next 25 years, and they are the most homogenous white British part of the population. Now, as we've said as well, you know, the most important thing we've looked at tonight in terms of immigration. So, you know, we've got births, we've got deaths, and we've got labour changing the way the benefits system works in order to pay these non-white families to have children. So I think what Labour are doing here is something new. I think they're dropping immigration to make it look like something's happening. I think they're giving a good headline figure on net migration to calm people down. And this is all part of putting people back to sleep, because the way they're bringing about demographic change is now more subtle. What they are doing is, firstly, paying the non-whites who are already here to have children. Secondly, they are relying on the fact that lots of white British people are going to die in the next quarter of a century. And thirdly, they are structuring the immigration into Britain. So although net migration is lower, the fact that more white Britons are leaving every year is absolutely disastrous. And I don't usually use AI, but I actually asked one of these AI programs to have a look at this for me. I said, this is the question I asked AI. I said, can you explain how more white Britons leaving in the immigration figures depresses net migration, but actually increases the rate of demographic change? And I didn't know what I was going to come up with this, because AI isn't my thing. I usually speak out against it. I occasionally use AI to check facts and figures, but something like this is something a little bit new to me. So I asked this question, and do you know what I was expecting? I was expecting one of these answers where AI said something like, I can't talk about this, or this is a racially charged question, or why do you care what colour the country is? I was expecting some BS. But instead, I got this, which was very illuminating. So the question again was, can you explain how more white Britons leaving in the immigration figures depresses net migration, but actually increases the rate of demographic change? And AI said, yes, because net migration is a simple mathematical equation. While demographic change is a structural shift. When a white British citizen leaves the UK, it lowers the overall net migration headline figure. However, because they are being replaced by an influx of predominantly non-white or non-British arrivals, the overall population shifts more rapidly. So what we've seen here is a change in the numbers of people coming in, but we have seen a change in the numbers and structure and makeup of people going out. So this represents a structural shift in immigration as much as it represents a shift in the numbers. And I remember at one point, Nigel Farage was calling for something. He said, we need net zero immigration. And a lot of people cheered him for that. But some of the more sort of savvy people turned around and says, well, net zero is not a good thing, because net zero could mean a million white Britons leaving and a million Nigerians arriving. You've got net zero, but you've seen a massive demographic shift. And this is very interesting, because AI went on actually to give a more detailed answer on this. And it started off by saying it called this the net migration illusion. So this is quite interesting. It says net migration is calculated as people arriving minus people leaving. It does not care about ethnicity or nationality. of the people in question. In the latest Office for National Statistics data, overall net migration dropped significantly, partly because 136,000 more British citizens left the UK than returned. The illusion on paper net migration number drops by 136,000, which politicians frame as a reduction in population pressure. In reality, the 136 departing are overwhelmingly white, and they do not stop hundreds of thousands of new non-EU workers and students. Instead of slowing demographic change, this dynamic accelerates it. It acts like a revolving door where one specific demographic leaves and an entirely different demographic enters, changing the makeup of the country, even if the total population stays flat. It then goes on, and it actually brought in the family sizes that I've been banging on about. So one thing that really sort of pleased me is when I asked the AI this, it actually brought up the issues I've been talking about on these streams for months. It said the compounding effect of family sizes. As noted by the Institute for Fiscal Studies and census data, the white British population has a significantly lower birth rate and a much higher median age, 43 years old, than minority ethnic groups. When a young white British person or family emigrates to countries like Australia, Canada or Spain, the UK loses their future childbearing potential. Conversely, the incoming migrant demographics trend significantly younger and in communities have a higher average family size. Therefore, replacing a departing citizen with an arriving migrant creates a compounded long-term demographic shift that carries forward into the next generation. So this is really, really interesting, isn't it? That when looking at the facts and statistics on this, it's not just the structure, it's the age range, and it's this compounding effect. And the compounding effect is compounded further by the scrapping of the two-child benefit cap. And finally, AI brought up a third point, which it called skewing the baseline population. And it said, because the white British group makes up the overwhelming majority of the current population, 70%, a steady outward drain slowly chips away at its baseline share. According to the ONS, the UK's population growth is now driven entirely by net migration and the births of children to foreign-born parents. Well, when I read this, I was actually stunned, because it's almost like this is exactly what I've been saying for the past few years on stream. I'm going to just read that again. The UK's population growth is now driven entirely by net migration and the births of children to foreign-born parents, as deaths among the older, predominantly white British population begin to outpace births. When hundreds of thousands of white British nationals permanently emigrate, it accelerates the timeline where minority ethnic groups make up a larger percentage of the total UK population. So essentially, what AI is saying is that we've been right all along. And what AI has also said is exactly what I thought. So when I started preparing tonight's presentation, my argument was going to be that, in fact, demography has nothing really to do with net migration. Net migration is just a figure, a figure of, you know, did more come in than leave? Demographics is about replacement. And regardless of the bottom figure of net migration, replacement is still happening at an alarming rate. In this case, replacement is happening faster than before. Net migration can be zero. But as I said, if that was achieved by 1 million Africans arriving and 1 million white Brits leaving, we've got a disaster. And I think what we're seeing here is Labour are lulling people into a false sense of security, and the situation's not getting any better. But I actually have a much darker assessment of this. And the darker assessment is this. I'm a guy sat in a home office talking into a camera to a few hundred people. This stream might be seen in the end by a few thousand people. That's it. It's not going to be gangbusters. This isn't going to do like 2 million views or anything. We know that. But I am pretty on the ball with these things. But the government is more on the ball. They're not individuals sat in home offices talking to a few hundred people on a stream. They are very well paid people with their finger on the pulse, with massive funding, with a huge number of resources. What do these people know? Well, I think they know we're close to the point of no return. Despite still being about 70% of the population, we are close to the point of no return. And what I mean by that is we're close to that tipping point where, although we're still an overall majority, and the AI did say we're still an overwhelming majority is what the AI called it. If you make up 70% of the population and your young people are either not having children or are leaving the country to start new lives abroad, which is what we've heard tonight, you end up in an interesting situation, don't you? In that although you're overwhelmingly the majority, you are not replenishing your numbers. And this is something I've pointed out. We are the overwhelming majority, 90% plus in over 65s. But in the maternity ward, we're just 52%. And I think Labour know this. And I think Labour know that if they calm people down, they keep the lid on things, we're already at a point where unless we get a radical party into power that is going to aggressively pursue remigration, the births, the deaths, and the structural nature of the immigration that we're witnessing will be more than enough to push us over the edge without having to resort to Boris Johnson levels of mass immigration. And look, some people will say Boris Johnson levels of mass immigration help the system. And they do. They speed our replacement in a massive way. In one big surge. But the Boris wave also helps wake people up. It's like the boiling the frog analogy, isn't it? You know, if you turn up the heat too quickly, the frog notices. And the Boris wave was like turning that heat up from gas mark 3 to gas mark 7 in one go. And the frog started to say, I'm getting a bit warm here and we need an end to this. And that's not what the government wants. The government specialises in managed decline. It specialises in boiling the frog. My concern with what's going on now is that Labour are dropping this headline figure because they know they don't need it to be larger. They know it would be better for them if actually we weren't a minority in 2052, but we came a minority in 2058, if it took 6 years longer. But because of that, people remained more calm, people were less angry, people were less likely to go out and vote against the two establishment parties. I think that is what Labour are doing here. I think these figures, despite on the surface looking very good, looking like an improvement, and there's certainly something that's going to please certain parts of the white population. I can imagine lots of boomers who like voting for the centrist parties are going to really like this. But underneath the surface, this is bad because the demographic shifts are still occurring as fast as they ever were, if not faster, because of the structure of those leaving, because of the composition of those leaving the country. But also, I think this lets us know that the powers that be understand. They have crunched all the figures and they know they can take their foot off the accelerator and still get where they need to be, but with potentially less trouble and a lower likelihood of there being some kind of revolution over immigration. So I'm sure Shabana Mahmood and her ilk are clapping and are celebrating because unfortunately these figures are just a way to placate the public, fool people and take people's eye off the ball. And unfortunately, the issue still is demographic change. And that still is happening, whether people like it or not. at the same rate that it was happening before, just in a slightly different way, which unfortunately is less visible. And that's not what we need. We need these problems to be more visible, because what I've explained tonight has taken about an hour with a bit of an intro and chit chat. Now, the problem is, we don't have an hour on the doorstep to explain to everyone. People have to understand immediately what the problem is. And Boris Johnson was a scumbag, but his one redeeming feature was he was such a scumbag. People understood immediately. And my worry here is this is going to send people back to sleep at a time when they should be even more awake. And I am just happy that when I speak to one of these AI models and put in a simple question, it gives me the sort of confidence in knowing that everything I have said over the past few years, everything that I've analysed is right. And I'm not asking you all to go back and watch every stream I've done on these topics, but if you did, and if you have seen them, you'll understand that what that AI spat out is exactly what I've warned everyone about over the past year or so. So there you have it, guys. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We're going to do the super chats now. If you want to super chat, you can. I've had two so far tonight. And remember, please go to my Substack. I've got the most extensive article on my Substack about both the murder of Henry Novak, tragic, but also about the Thomas Massie election. And my Substack piece on the Thomas Massie election goes into everything, and I mean absolutely everything. I name every single super PAC involved. I name the major donors of every single super PAC. I name the people who started the super PACs. I name how they were set up. I name everything. I name Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, Chaim Sabin. I name the Christian pastors working with Israeli citizens to bring together Christian Zionists. Please do check that article out. When I work on an article like that, I can tell you this, it takes me about 8 hours plus to write a single article. So please, please do go and check those out. Anyway, let's do the super chat. Let's do the super chats. Hazel Nut 3000 gave $10 and said, thanks, Mark. Thank you very much. And Flemish Fighter gave $20. Thank you so much. And said, Mark, what do you think of Nick Griffin's prediction that as the UK becomes unlivable, the white population will tribalize? Also, more ethnics will leave as there will be better alternatives abroad. I don't know why he says silly things like this. What Nick Griffin has said is actually the very opposite of what we have seen tonight. So tonight I've laid out on the stream this detailed factual presentation showing that white Brits aren't tribalizing, they're leaving. And that ethnic minorities, or the only ethnic minorities that are leaving, are EU nationals. So we've seen a massive outflow in two groups of people, white Britons and white migrants. We've still seen a massive inflow of non-white, non-European migrants. They're the facts. You dig beneath the headline figure of net migration, and the fact is, net migration is only low because white people as a whole are going. This idea that ethnic Brits are going to tribalize and all the non-whites are going to go, hey, man, we're going back to Africa, or we're going back to the Caribbean, or we're going back to Syria, is complete nonsense. And I've proved that tonight. I hadn't read this prediction by Nick Griffin, but what I have showed tonight with all of the facts, all of the figures, with the data from the ONS, with my own predictions, my own theories about the two-child benefit cap and deaths, has all been backed up by an AI model's prediction of how things are going to go. All that dovetails. The idea that we're about to ride to victory and tribalize does not come up in this at all. I can't see that. you know, I can't see that. It's not borne out in the figures. What is borne out in the figures is what I've said tonight. The demographic change is still happening at the same level, if not faster, but net migration has dropped. Net migration has dropped, but the demographic changes are still happening as fast as ever before. And the real kicker is net migration might actually not have dropped by what we think, because they usually revise the figures upwards as time goes by. Anyway, thank you to everyone who has joined in tonight. Thank you to everyone who super chatted, and thank you to everyone who has tuned in. It's been a good stream. And if you want to go over onto my Substack, please, please do go and check out my Substack. It's pinned in the comments. It would really help. Please do share my latest essay. It is the most in-depth essay on the Thomas Massey election. Go and check it out and help me get the word out there. Anyway, thank you so much. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. I love you all. I'll see you all again soon. Thank you, everybody, and good night.